What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome to our show today. It is Friday, October 23rd, 2020. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. We have a lot to talk about today. And of course, in hour number two is the lovely Lady Claire. Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble. We're going to do the news until we run out of news, and then we'll open the phone lines for your comments, questions, observations, and opinions. And before I get into the news, I have a quote. This is from Theodore Roosevelt. And the quote goes, "It is not the critic who counts, nor the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat." And again, that's Teddy Roosevelt. And as I was watching the debate last night, that quote kept running through my head. And you know, I was looking at the screen and say, Trump is the man in the arena. He's the president. He's the one who, for the last 3+ years, has been dealing with all of the problems of the United States of America. And Joe Biden is the critic. He gets to sit there and pass judgment. He's the armchair quarterback, safe from the dust and the blood of the arena itself, claiming that he could have done so much better and will do better if he's just given a chance. Frankly, I want to go with the man who's already got some experience in the job of being president. Okay, so the debate was last night. The last debate of this presidential season was last night. Actually went off a lot better than the first debate. The moderator, Kristen Welker, did a really good job. Yes, she was biased, but not quite as obvious as the first debate here. And it was a lot calmer. Trump stayed composed. And both sides were very much contained, and it was a lot calmer. And the coronavirus pandemic was a hot topic, and Trump seemed to come out on top of that one. And I think that's bolstered by the fact that just now Joe Biden held a press conference in which he tried to reiterate or update or alter his coronavirus policy and his promises for a Biden administration. So he's trying to get a do-over for his side of that part of the debate. Not going to work. It's middle of the day. Hardly anybody's going to see it. I'm sure there'll be experts on the evening news tonight. But it almost felt like Biden was trying to play catch up at that point. Now, an interesting thing is a lot of independent observers, a lot of focus groups, a lot of online polls show Trump winning the debate hands down. But interestingly enough, the professional media polling organizations, the same ones that insisted Hillary was going to win in 2016, are all saying that Biden won last night's debate. So they are really pushing pedal to the metal, trying to get their boy in, because if Trump wins re-election, I think we're going to see a little bit of vengeance coming back, not just to the social media, but corporate media as well. So this article's out of the Political Insider, and it says, it's interesting to note when a debate is fairly moderated and the tough questions also go to Biden, the president wins hands down. The citizens of Nashville certainly think so. And as a matter of fact, a lot of them gathered outside the venue after the debate was over with their Trump signs and cheering him on. So at least within Nashville itself, which is just yonder over that way, he came across very well. Now, Chris Wallace, who moderated the first debate, is admitting he's jealous of Kristen Welker and wishing that he'd been the moderator of that third debate. Well, too late, Chris. You had your shot. your shot at it here. Interestingly enough, story coming on out of domagood.com, President Trump's approval with black voters soars to 46% after debate win over Joe Biden. That's a very significant jump. And we're starting to see a lot of post-debate polls come on in, and Trump is definitely moving ahead here. Now, one of the most embarrassing moments for Joe Biden came during the segment talking about energy and fracking. And, you know, Trump pointed out that Joe Biden has said in the past he supported banning fracking. And Biden said he never supported a ban. Trump said, you said it on video. And Biden said, go ahead and post the video on your website. I dare you to prove it. So Trump did exactly that. And there is a new Trump commercial out there right now that has several shots of Joe Biden on video saying that he was going to ban fracking. So, yeah, well, Joe, it's what you wanted. Joe Biden says he would end the oil industry. And there are videos to back that up where he says he wants to see a United States that doesn't use oil and gas. Well, Joe, everybody's been talking about that on the liberal side for a long time. But what would you propose, you know, as a substitute, you know, cow droppings? I mean, even the electric vehicles that the liberals are all buying and driving in the belief they're working for the environment, they're still, for the most part, fired or charged, rather, from coal and gas and oil-fired power plants. So anyway, Biden said he would transition from the oil industry. Trump replied, that's a big statement. And Biden said, yes, it is a big statement. So there they are. Now, Biden is already working trying to clean up the debate comments on closing down the oil industry, and he's out there insisting that workers won't lose jobs. Well, that's impossible. If you're closing down the oil industry, the oil workers are going to lose their jobs. There is no other way around that. And again, he's playing catch up, both with this and the press conference he just had about the coronavirus. He's realizing that some of the stuff that he said last night did not go over very well. And he's trying to play cleanup. But I think the damage is already done. So the Biden campaign is trying to walk back his remarks about the oil industry. And apparently Biden has made more confusing remarks that people can't figure out. I noticed on his press conference regarding coronavirus, it was very obvious to me that he was reading from a teleprompter. Because he kept inserting pauses into his speech in very inappropriate locations, which is a dead giveaway here. Now, there was the post-debate focus group of undecided voters put together by Frank Luntz. And when the question was asked, who would be better for the economy, every single hand in the focus group went up for President Trump and none for Joe Biden. All righty. So we ran our own. But by the way, Drudge Report, once again, did not have an online poll who won the debate last night. But we did. Who won last night's presidential debate? And the results last time I checked them was Trump 95% and Biden 5%. And that's an even more lopsided result than we got on the poll for the first presidential debate. So Trump's pulling back and being more presidential. And he was. He came across as much more presidential this time, did definitely work. All right, getting on over to the scandal that everybody wants you to forget. The corporate media is still out there trying to bury the story of Hunter Biden's emails. BuzzFeed is out there claiming that the Hunter Biden emails were stolen without any evidence whatsoever. Now, the law of the land is very, very clear. There is no legal right to privacy regarding abandoned property, and that's exactly what happened. Hunter Biden took this laptop, he actually took three of them, to this repair shop, and he left it to be put back in working order. When the repair shop called him to come pick it up, he didn't pick it up, he didn't pay for the repair. It went past the deadline, at which point the computer store said, this is now abandoned property. That's when they looked in it. And whatever they saw prompted them to call the authorities. Okay, story coming on out of Zero Hedge. There's a new blockbuster report about how the Biden family was compromised by China. And some of the emails are showing that Hunter Biden knew some of the people they were dealing with in China were Chinese intelligence. And apparently they were not at all concerned about that. But it underscores the fact that this relationship between the Bidens and China represents a threat to our national security. You know, how the Bidens have been compromised by the Communist Party of China. Okay. Tony Bobulinski is a former Biden associate. He held a press conference, which hardly anybody showed up to, I might add. And he basically said that a Chinese company gave $5 million non-secured forgivable loan to the Biden family. Now, the other day, Joe Biden came on out and said, look at my tax returns. They prove I'm not getting any money from anybody. Little wrinkle that you may not be aware of, the proceeds from a loan are not taxable. And so they wouldn't show up on his tax returns. All right. And with all of this talk about money laundering going on, it's entirely possible, in fact, reasonable to be expected that a lot of the money that was flowing from, let's see what the list is now, Romania, Russia, Ukraine, China, and who knows who all else, wound up somewhere where the Bidens can get to it, but not have to pay taxes on it. So a 2017 email from a top official of the Chinese energy firm provided by Tony Bobulinski to U.S. Senate investigators demonstrates the terms of the agreement, where the firm gave a $5 million forgivable loan to the Biden family. So that's how this stuff gets done. Anyway, Bobulinski had a press conference. The videos are all over the independent media. We even had a link to it from whatreallyhappened.com. Meanwhile, of course, CNN, MSNBC, and all the others, they just decided it wasn't, you know, worth showing up for the whistleblower. NPR is still refusing to touch the story at all, saying it's a complete waste of time here. All right. Newly surfaced court documents and emails are shedding fresh light on the relationship between Russian billionaire Elena Baturina and a consortium of business partners that included Hunter Biden. Now, John Galanis, who's got a history of white-collar fraud convictions, has alleged in a court filing that his son Jason worked with Biden and their partner Devin Archer to help Baturina launder money through the U.S. financial system. Now, Galanis is serving a 10-year prison sentence for a fraud scheme that involved Hunter Biden associates. He was previously released early from a 27-year sentence for another fraud and has faced similar convictions. We've got another insider flipping on them here. Okay, getting on back to Tony Bobulinski, one of the highlights of his press conference is he held up three separate cell phones, saying these cell phones, you know, basically contain the proof of everything that he was saying. And he's turning it all over to the FBI, which means we're not likely to ever see it again, sadly. But again, you know, the hard drive is out and Rudy Giuliani has it. The New York Post has it, and it's definitely out there. Now, this is a huge story that's coming on out, and it's from the Gateway Pundit. And it goes back to something I said earlier in the week about how these gigantic crime families operate by giving out little tastes, piece of the action to everybody else around them. So according to this new story from the Gateway Pundit, there are new emails from Steve Bannon. He's releasing more of the emails showing that President Barack Obama was brought into the Biden schemes. Okay, so he was making money off of this as well. And again, that explains why Obama is out there talking to empty parking lots, trying to campaign for Biden, because if Biden goes down for this, it's going to splatter a lot of people in Washington, D.C. It's like that old statement, you know, when the feces hit the ventilation system. And another story along the same lines here. This is from the National Pulse. Apparently, the Clintons accepted somewhere up to $100,000 from Hunter Biden's Chinese energy firm. And apparently, it's another surfacing email which went to Hunter Biden and basically came on out to CEFC China Energy and their deal they were making with the Bidens. Now, Hunter Biden described a three-year consulting contract he inked with CEFC, basically earning him $10 million annually for introductions alone. You know, there it is. He was selling influence. And apparently, Hillary and Bill Clinton, through the Clinton Foundation, accepted up to $100,000 from the company as well. Now, Senate investigators are demanding that Hunter Biden turn over a whole pile of evidence following all the bombshell emails and text messages, which appear to show that he and his business partners engaged in an international influence peddling scheme while Joe Biden was vice president of the United States, according to CBS News' Catherine Herridge, who brought receipts as usual. So the Senate is demanding all these records, wire transfers, travel records. They're definitely getting into this. And the Democrats are scared. And you can tell how scared they are by the fact that Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and Senator Ron Wyden called on the FBI yesterday not to investigate the Biden crime family before the election. And these two senators came on out with what has to be the most bizarre rationalization, saying that an investigation into the Biden family could undermine the rule of law. That doesn't even make any sense. And there's a lot, you know, in Hunter Biden's, you know, background. We ran a flashback story. This is from Indians.com. And it's from some years ago, back in 2016, where Hunter Biden's name was used to legitimize the sale of fraudulent tribal bonds. And they built investors of more than $60 million. So it's just something that he's been doing. And Joe, of course, is going to insist he knows absolutely nothing about whatever. Okay, looking at ABC, CBS, and NBC, in 51 hours of news coverage, they mentioned the Hunter Biden scandals for a total of 14 minutes. And apparently, ABC spent 0 seconds on Hunter Biden. NBC spent just 5 minutes, 2 seconds. And CBS led the broadcast networks with 9 minutes and 13 seconds. Rudy Giuliani's film debut is getting more coverage. And they're continuing to insist that it's real, that he had his hand down his pants, and which if you're tucking in your shirt, yes, that's exactly what happens here. Now, I mentioned before the band in Boston or the Barbra Streisand effect, and social media is trying to kill the Hunter Biden story, and it has backfired on them tremendously. It is the most read story on social media. Despite the attempts to kill it, the story is all over. It's on independent media websites like whatreallyhappened.com. It's over at Republic Broadcasting. And everybody wants to see what is the fuss all about. And so behaving in this very heavy-handed fashion, they destroyed their own credibility and they turned a minor political scandal into a major, major breaking story. And we're still not even getting into the aspect about the child porn. Okay, now Kamala Harris' husband, Douglas Emhoff, was speaking to a room full of supporters and made the following comment. He said, "I am married to the next president of the United States." Now that is a really, really weird one. Okay, we're coming up here on some commercials. And we'll be back with more news after these few words. So stay tuned.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Got the money, honey. We got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up in anyone. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did. The towers in.
Welcome back to our show here, and again, a friendly reminder and a nudge in the ribs that Republic Broadcasting Network is in the middle of a perpetual fundraiser. We do not have large corporations or insane billionaires pouring money all over us, so we rely on you, the listening public, to keep us going. And I want to extend a heartfelt thank you to those of you who have donated, because it really has helped to make a difference. I wish I could say it's enough. It is not. We still need the help of those of you who have not quite yet donated. And it doesn't have to be a big donation. There's no such thing as too small a donation. Every little tiny bit is going to help. And, you know, this is Friday night. Maybe you could skip ordering a pizza and send the money to Republic Broadcasting, which would make Republic Broadcasting a little bit bigger and your waistline a little bit smaller. So once again, the postal address to send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity cash, is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation is 800-724-2719, extension 3. The network thanks you. Okay, getting on back to the news here, we're going to talk about COVID-19 for a little bit. The FDA has granted approval to Gilead's remdesivir to treat COVID-19. Unfortunately, there is data from an international World Health Organization study raising serious questions about whether it actually works or not. And, you know, it was an antiviral originally developed to treat Ebola, and they've approved it for the treatment of COVID-19. Now, this is the first drug approved for treating COVID-19 in the United States, and the World Health Organization data is saying it may not actually be all that effective. The FDA granted the drug emergency authorization last May, allowing hospitals and doctors to use the drug, even though by all accounts it isn't that widely used. I know they used it on Donald Trump. He received one course of remdesivir along with several other COVID-19 therapies after he got the virus. Doctors also gave Trump dexamethasone, a steroid that has a much better track record for treating the virus, according to the available data. Trump also received an experimental drug from Regeneron, which, along with Eli Lilly, has filed for emergency approval for use. Okay. Now, let's go to the international news here. There's a lot going on over there. Israel's ambassador to the United Nations, Gilad Erdan, has claimed that textbooks used by schools run by the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees in the Near East contained insightful content. So in discussions with UNRWA's chief, Erdan said the agency was allowing an infrastructure of incitement in its facilities, including the school curricula. And so now they're attacking the UN schools for trying to educate the Palestinian children. Over in Iran, they are getting ready to import North Korean missiles as part of a 25-year military deal with China. Now, following the end of the United Nations embargo on Iran buying and selling weapons, that expired on the 18th, The rollout of the military component of the 25-year deal between China and Iran will begin next month. And apparently, Iran is impressed with the North Korean missiles and wants to have some. Okay, now, we have been watching this closely, but over the past 2 years, the United States has dramatically increased the number of U.S. Navy aircraft carriers and destroyers sent into the South China Sea. They claim it's freedom of navigation exercises. It's actually a show of force to remind the Chinese government that the United States government considers the Western Pacific and South China Sea as part of the oceans of America and its allies. Well, then we ought to call it the South American Seas as opposed to the South China Seas. And apparently the Trump administration ratcheted up more tension with China by sending to Taiwan the highest ranking U.S. officials in over 40 years. The Chinese government has responded with the largest naval exercises in its history and sending flights of 18 aircraft to the edge of Taiwan's air defense zone. China is now talking about sanctions in response to the U.S. weapons sale to Taiwan. Russian President Vladimir Putin said yesterday there is no need for a Russia-China military alliance right now, but noted it can't be ruled out for the future. And his statement signals deepening ties between Moscow and Beijing amid growing tensions in their mutual relations with the United States. And Putin also made a strong call for extending the last remaining arms control pact between Moscow and Washington. Now, last we heard, Moscow had conceded one of the U.S. demands to extend the START treaty for a year and that it was going to go forward. But who knows what's going to happen? Okay, we got to take another break for commercials. We'll be right back after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.com. www.thepublicsource.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
What really happened with your host, Mike Rivero? You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show here. We're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines here. Area code 512-248-8252. And while we're waiting for the lines to light up, get on back to the news. The United States Navy is going to start equipping its attack submarines and all of its destroyers with hypersonic missiles in a bid to face the what's called the mounting threat posed by China in the Pacific. The service will first be installing the weapons on the Virginia-class attack submarines, then on its new Zumwalt-class destroyers, before finally mounting the missiles on all three tiers of its Arleigh Burke-class destroyers. So it's the age of the hypersonic missile. Unfortunately, Russia and China's hypersonic missiles are a little ahead of the U.S. hypersonic missiles. We'll see what happens with that one. Okay, the tiny nation of Palau has invited the United States to build a military base on its territory. It's a sign of how the Pacific is once again becoming strategically vital as countries choose to align with either Washington or Beijing. Can you hear the war drums beating in the distance? And few people in the West are likely to have heard of Palau, which is an archipelago in the Western Pacific Ocean. It's located close to Papua New Guinea and the Philippines. It boasts a population of only 17,000 people, less than the average small town. But these islands may seem irrelevant in the world of contemporary politics, but their location is geopolitically significant. All right. This was a little bit out of order. Senate Democrats are filibustering the Republican COVID-19 relief bill, insisting on the multi-trillion dollar House bill. They're still fighting back and forth, but with Nancy Pelosi out there trying to get the $2.2 trillion Democratic bill through, which sends the money not so much to ordinary Americans who are suffering under the coronavirus, but to democratically run states and cities that are hovering on the edge of bankruptcy due to mismanagement. The other part of this bill that is really unacceptable is they're making changes to the election laws, which has got nothing to do with COVID-19 or the economy, but Pelosi is jamming it through there in the hope they can have some last second changes to election law ahead of the election. So in a strict party line vote, the Republican Amendment 2652 failed to get the 60 votes required to overcome the filibuster. And basically, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said if this relief does not pass, it will be because Senate Democrats chose to do Speaker Pelosi's political dirty work rather than stand up for struggling people. And that's exactly what happened. They don't care about you. They're just out there playing politics. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a phone call. Joe in California. Hello, Joe. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Mike, it's a great day in America.
Okay.
I think Trump today clinched the election, his reelection. Sudan and Israel have come to terms on a peace agreement.
Yes, I saw that.
Fantastic news. Mike,
okay.
I had a question. I'm being sarcastic. I don't even think Sudan and Israel were ever at war. So.
They've been unofficially talking to each other for a while, but, you know, Sudan saw a chance to get itself off the nation sponsor of terror list, and they took
exactly.
It. Yeah.
Mike, just a technology question on the Biden scandal. It might be a stupid question, but the three phones that were displayed by this gentleman yesterday, I can't remember his name, Bobonsky or something, Bobonsky.
Yeah.
Is there any possibility of those phones being remotely hacked and all that information just cleansed from the phones?
If they're turned on, yes. If I were him, I would have taken the batteries out. But I think the fact that they're going to the FBI almost guarantees that what's in there won't be seen. I mean, the FBI has had Hunter Biden's laptop since last December. They didn't mention all of the obvious influence peddling that was revealed by the emails, and they've made absolutely no mention of the more salacious content of the hard drive involving photographs of underage girls, one of whom is a relative of Hunter Biden, apparently posed with him in some very suggestive pictures.
I thought it was interesting that Frank Luntz, who conducted this voter session after the debate, Luntz says yes, most of the voters, most of the undecideds, most of the voters thought Trump won the debate, but Luntz himself still feels that Biden will win the election.
Yes. Well, I'm still concerned Biden's going to steal the election. I mean, they're not even trying to hide
right.
The vote from.
That's what I think. I mean, when you look at the crowds, it reminds me of 2016, where there's no excitement on the Biden side. There's no people showing up. And at the Trump rallies, you see these throngs of people, although some, maybe it was one reference made by the corporate media. They said that his crowds are smaller, but of course you have the COVID this time,
yes.
This time around. But it just seems like based on excitement and crowd size that Trump should win. But on the other hand, the Biden, while there's no excitement on the Biden side, you could say, well, there's no excitement, therefore they don't have the motivation to go out and vote, but they're voting by mail. So they don't really need that much excitement. They just have that hate and for Trump, which will spur them to vote by mail.
Yeah.
They hate Trump to vote by mail, but they don't support Biden enough to actually get their butts out to vote in person.
Well, I was talking to somebody earlier today about, you know, some of the local Democrats here, and this person is a Trump supporter, Trump voter, and said, you literally cannot talk to these people. All they, you know, all they say is Trump is bad, Trump is bad, Trump is bad, Trump is bad. They're like robots. And they're definitely fanatics. And Biden has mentally trapped them. They don't want to admit that the Bidens are corrupt, because if Biden is wrong, it means they were wrong. And they would rather vote this nation into a socialist hell on earth than admit that they were wrong in the first place. Joe, are you there? Joe dropped. All right. Let's switch over to Steve Elkins. Hello, Steve. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, I got a legal question for you. I threw it by John last night. He didn't have an answer, and I thought, yeah, let's throw it by Mike and see if Mike's got an answer for it. Question is, because so much of the Affordable Care Act is in the news here, that's what's driving a lot of fear. I did my own polling last weekend, and people I found that had the signs in the yard for Biden and Harris had made the statements that the reason they're voting for Biden and Harris is because the Affordable Care Act, they felt that Trump would get rid of it and there'd be nothing in substitute. So that was the fear driving them to vote for those two. So I guess my question was, going back to the actual Affordable Care Act, in that Justice Roberts had made a decision and then reversed his decision. He was first saying it was illegal, then met with Obama, I guess a half an hour to an hour, came back later on and changed, flipped his decision to it's legal. I guess my question is, ever in history, have we ever seen a president go to the Supreme Court after a decision has been made and then a reversal? Because it seems to me it's illegal to do so, to actually go meet with the justice.
You have to look at the timeline here, because Roberts had indicated what his decision was going to be, but the decision had not been formally handed down. And Roberts just changed at the absolute last second before the decision came down, and then he immediately went on a week's vacation to dodge reporters.
Mm-hmm. But has that ever happened in history before where, you know, they're indicating their decision and a president meets with Supreme Court justice to see if he could sway him his way? That ever happened?
I'm not aware of it, which doesn't mean it hasn't happened. But, you know, there's a lot of pressure being put on these judges behind the scenes. And if John Roberts is, in fact, the John Roberts in the flight logs for Jeffrey Epstein's Lolita Express, then they have him on a leash. And that may have been what, you know, Obama did in that half hour meeting, was say, you know, we got the goods on you. We got the videotape you know, you will say that we are legal or we will destroy your career. And wouldn't be the first time that blackmail is being used as a tool of statecraft. Again, it's one of the reasons why I wish that Ghislaine Maxwell's transcript had not been redacted. They've gone through and blacked out the names of all the guilty to protect the guilty. And I think it's a bad idea.
Well, I agree. I had the same feeling that something in that conversation, whether he benefits in some way, maybe financially, I don't know, some interest there, or there was a blackmail situation, but I'd never thought about the Lolita Express. You know, what I thought was also, which is a possibility, and just throwing it out there, with these pictures on Hunter Biden's computer here, I wonder, you know, we don't know much about those pictures, not a whole lot about the pictures. They're kind of being hush mouth on that. But what's the possibility that maybe these pictures tie into Jeffrey Epstein, some relationship there with that whole blackmail scheme? Maybe there's something there with that.
Could be. Can't rule it out. Don't know that it's for sure. But everybody, I mean, there's a lot of deliberate, you know, poison the well stuff being put out about the pictures. We had a caller call into the show yesterday saying the pictures show Hunter Biden torturing Chinese girls. That's already been exposed as fake news.
Yeah, I figured that one was. I figured that. Not torture, but I wouldn't be surprised with his character flaws. I mean, you got to admit, any guy that shacks up with his dead brother's wife and then impregnates a stripper is not a guy of high-quality character.
No.
That's it for me, Mike. Have a great show. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go here. The phone lines are open. Area code 512-248 8252, and we're just about 15 minutes away from the lovely Lady Claire here. All right, getting into the economic news now. Wells Fargo's Mike Mayo alleged yesterday that Goldman Sachs paid a premium in its latest nearly $3 billion settlement, which followed a $2 billion-plus settlement with Malaysian authorities earlier this year over some of the financial misdoings regarding the one MDB case, and they wanted this to go away before the election. Well, it's only 10 days to the election. I don't know that it really worked. Anyway, and I actually got a notice about this myself. PayPal is going to open up their payment network to cryptocurrencies. So that may be a rather interesting way for people to sort of wet their toes, to wade into the world of cryptocurrencies. I did briefly while I was in Hawaii, but then Hawaii passed a law banning cryptocurrencies, so I basically got out. But maybe with PayPal there and being in Indiana, it's time to get back in. All righty. Now, apparently, Polish authorities have fined Russia's Gazprom $7.6 billion for constructing the Nord Stream 2 pipeline to Germany. They're going to be fighting over this one, and I would not be surprised if somebody bombs that thing, because they definitely don't want Russia to be selling oil and gas to Germany and the rest of Europe. So Polish antitrust authorities have claimed Nord Stream 2 is fundamentally a politically motivated attempt to punish Polish consumers while increasing European dependence on Russian exports. Germany has stood by the project even amid the Navalny poisoning affair, which has strained its relations with Russia. And I understand there's a new pipeline that is being rushed through that goes through the southern part of Israel to try and get oil and gas up to the European market. Those pipelines, it's more than just the oil and gas and the cartage fees, if you will. They are strategically, politically important. And we're starting to see that here. Okay, Peter Schiff is out there saying that the United States, specifically the Treasury and the Federal Reserve, actually, is killing off the U.S. dollar with its addiction to ever-increasing doses of monetary heroin, meaning quantitative easing. And, you know, they're out there saying stimulus is good for the economy. Well, it's good to get over the rough bumps, but you can't keep it going permanently, or you start devaluing the dollar, leading to a crash. We'll be in Zimbabwe territory carrying around paper notes saying $100 million on them. Now, getting on to immigration, somebody got really badly embarrassed because during the presidential debate, President Trump said that cartels, gangs, and coyotes were smuggling illegal aliens over the border. So Georgia Democratic State Representative Darshan Kendrick slammed him, saying, how the heck does a coyote bring a whole human across the border? And what State Representative Darshan Kendrick doesn't understand is coyote is a code term for a people smuggler. And it's somebody who will accept money from the illegal immigrants to sneak them across the border. It's usually a one or two person operation, and they are called coyotes. And not too surprisingly, Darshan Kendrick has been slammed all over social media for just, you know, opening his mouth without knowing what the heck he's talking about, which is unfortunately a Democratic behavior, if you will. The Paris city government has announced it's going to transform the historic former town hall into a reception center for asylum seekers and migrants. They're still moving ahead with this even after the beheading of that teacher. So Paris Mayor Anne Hidalgo announced the move on last Sunday, saying the humanitarian mission that was previously located in the notorious Port de la Chapelle area would be moved to the very center of Paris in the vicinity of the world-famous Louvre Museum. I saw a story where apparently some of Some of the world's great museums located on a museum island were victims of a vandalism attack. And I think that was up in Berlin, as a matter of fact. So that's a terrible thing to do. Okay, interesting little article. And this one is coming from allnewspipeline.com. And it goes back to, you know, Columbus Day. And, you know, the natives of North America were basically living their lives peacefully on October 12, 1492. And basically, they're portrayed as these innocents. Are we going to take a break for commercial? We'll be right back after these videos.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
Yeah, we got to take that particular intro out of the rotation because the number is now area code 512-248-8252. Now, getting on back to this story that came out of All News Pipeline, basically you have the woke crowd bashing Christopher Columbus for bringing Europeans to the New World, and along with them cruelty, things like slavery. But the historical reality is that some American Indian tribes kept human slaves, and during difficult times, during famine, they would eat them. That's the historical reality. All right, let's grab a phone call now from Joe in Tennessee. Hello, Joe. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, the debate last night really surprised me because of the, you know, the crappy one the first one was. I thought it was a great debate. I thought, I must say, I was prepared to be horrified by the moderator, but she actually did a pretty good job, and for a lefty, she gave a pretty balanced performance as a moderator, I must say, a lot better than Chris Wallace. And I thought both candidates, especially Trump, but they were, you know, you got an honest view of the candidate. I mean, I don't think, you know, I know Trump was, you know, I really was pleased with Trump because, you know, he showed who he is. I mean, it was Trump, you know, and I don't believe he was really lying to us. I don't think he was, like, faking like, you know, the neocons do. They try to act populist and they try to act like pro-American and this and that. I think, Trump just laid it out. Yeah, that's Trump. I was actually very pleased with his performance. And Biden, of course, he's got a bad hand to play in that the positions of the left are not popular, so he has to kind of hide his true positions. But in a way, I thought he did a pretty good job for, you know, having a bad hand. And as far as, you know, being an old guy that's sick and all that, I mean, if I was a Democrat, I wouldn't be too upset with his performance neither. But I think the public really did get an opportunity to see, you know, who both the men are, and I think that's a good thing. Like I said, I doubt there are very few people that are undecided now anyway. I do think that Trump really got Joe on the black thing. I think that the black voters are not going to turn out for Joe Biden. And as far as the debate performance, I think it's a suppressor that Trump won more than anything else. Because if you're a black Democrat, I can't see you like going out in a rainstorm to vote for Joe Biden. And Trump did a great job in that regard as far as a wedge issue. Whether they vote for Trump or not, they're not going to be. They're going to be even less enthusiastic about him than they were for Hillary. And I think Trump did a great job bringing up the crime bill and also the cages, you know, when he said women in cages, kids in cages, and says, well, you're the ones that build it.
That was a good one. That was definitely a good one.
Yeah. Now, the other quick thing I wanted to mention was the FBI wants to talk to this Tony Bobulinski or whatever before the Senate. We all know what that means. They'll interview him and then tell him he can't say anything to anybody after they interview him so they can keep him under wraps. So I hope the Senate gets in there and says, no, we want to interview him first because we know what you do, FBI. You just want to suppress evidence, and we want the evidence first. With their track record of suppressing evidence, the FBI, we all know what they're doing, and that's to get him in and then say all this information is part of an investigation and you're not allowed to talk to anybody.
Joe, we got to let you go. We got to take a break for station identification. We'll be back with the lovely Lady Claire after these few words.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.